All right, and good morning. Welcome to the Oat Health Heart Health Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and we're joined this morning by Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining us for episode number 5, June 9, 2009. Just a reminder, for show notes and support material, everything that was discussed in today's episode, please visit www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast. Today's episode, we're actually calling I Have High Cholesterol, How Did I Get Here? The goal is really to show you the next steps, sort of where do we go from here. We're trying to demonstrate how the social and technological advances have helped us make more choices about how we spend our time, but we also have to think about what's required from us to be more proactive about the food and diet choices we have to make to compensate. This will be our last installment for our four-part series about the benefits and trade-offs of modern food processing. And in our news section today, we have an article about the Center for Science and Public Interest presented their 2009 Extreme Eating Awards, Joe.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd do this again. I didn't think we'd come back to this.
Not dramatic, huh?
Yeah, not the dramatic stuff. But yeah, this one's, you know, once again, they I don't think they would launch this often, but this was a good one. It just, once again, it's daily stuff.
Yeah.
We run into this, and we got to be aware of it. So
we're going to give some, so basically it's the top kind of nasty foods out there that we got to watch out for.
I think they're going to do this annually now. This is the Extreme Eating Awards.
All right. Well, don't give us the list yet. Let's look at it a second. But so the research section, Joe, you're actually going to share with us from the Newswire article that we'll review and actually take some extra time today with something called The Age of Good Health, Healthy Lifestyle is on the Decline in the U.S. Kind of scary.
Yeah, I found this one, and this one really speaks a lot to what we've been talking about.
Right.
They go into a lot of more in-depth details. And then the researcher, when they interviewed him afterwards, just had some really interesting things to say about where we're at as a state in the U.S. and what we need to do or just what's going on, where we're at as far as food and our health and how the different factors kind of play together.
Right, so it's one thing to get the research, another thing to sort of hear the behind the scenes of what the researchers really think. So we'll get to that. Let's get started with today's podcast, episode number 5. All right, and we're back, and let's jump right into the podcast for today. We want to actually look at the recent news, a little bit of fun, humor for the week. Joe, it's our 2009 Extreme Eating Awards from the Center for Science and Public Interest.
Yeah, this was published in the June issue of their newsletter, which is called the Nutrition Action Health Letter. And they've kind of, once again, they're naming names here, and they're really putting people out there. Just, I think they're trying to bring awareness. You know, there's a lot of, we sit down at a restaurant, we don't know what's in our food, you know, as much as they're starting to improve labeling laws and making awareness. I don't think we're really aware. So there's some really good stuff here that we wanted to highlight again on some meals that you may run into at, you know, your regular eating establishment.
So some extreme eating
that
you might find. So what's the first one?
Yeah, so we got a few appetizers here, a few entrees. And so, you know, from an appetizer standpoint, you may be sharing it, you may not be. And I mean, some people now are, you know, taking an appetizer because they're more meal-like. And they might be ordering it as their meal.
I feel like I can eat an appetizer, right, and that's all I need. But what might be I getting?
Yeah, so Chili's, they have here one, the Big Mouth Bites with French fries, where you get 4 mini bacon cheeseburger with fried onion strings, which...
That sounds pretty good.
It's almost hard to pass up with just the name itself. But 2,350 calories.
Isn't an adult calorie intake for the day like 2,200?
Yeah, 2,200.
That's what you see on the back of labels.
Yeah.
So as a reference point.
And so maybe you split it in half, maybe you split it in fours, maybe you do, like, it, you know, it kind of all depends on each person. Maybe you eat it as an entree, but that's just
2,300 calories.
38 grams saturated fat, 3,900 milligrams of sodium. And so it's kind of... It's loaded up, and once again...
I haven't even eaten my entree yet.
Yeah, but you may sit down, and you won't think much of it. I mean, maybe you are. Maybe you're like, oh, man, starting off my meal with cheeseburgers?
Yeah, that's
like,
kind of different, but...
Is that overwhelming? But I think we can get in a mode when you're out and enjoying yourself, And I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings, but at the end of the day, there's going to have to be some awareness.
Well, the worst part is usually when you eat out, you're pretty hungry. You know, you're on the road, let's say on vacation, you pull over. But so I haven't gotten to the entree yet. What's some entrees?
Yeah, so let's take a look at, we have the tour of Italy here with the whole, I guess they described it as the whole menu.
This is straight from the Mediterranean diet, right?
Yeah, right. this is heart healthy, right? Lasagna, chicken parmesan, fettuccine alfredo, 1,400 calories, 33 grams of saturated fat, and 3,800 milligrams of sodium.
I never thought pasta would be healthier than my appetizer.
Yeah. I think the one that shocked me was the next one. Cheesecake Factory actually ends up on their list a few times throughout the year if you kind of look at the Nutrition Action Letter newsletter.
So they've got an appetizer at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, this is an appetizer, or it really looks, this one looks a little more like an entree. And to look at the calories, it's not really busting at the seams compared to the other ones, or some of the other ones here, but 1,500, that's obviously a
ton. I'm laughing because I want you to say the next one about the fat.
69 grams of saturated fat. That's not just fat, that's saturated fat.
But it's macaroni. How does that even happen?
Well, somebody figured out how to fry it. It's like a fried Snickers bar now, I guess.
Oh, why not?
Sure. Fried Twinkies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fry anything. And, there's a whole list of them here. You can kind of look and get on the website. But
well,
I think...
So, I mean, you can... We won't go into all the details, but just name some of the other ones that you know, you'd be
surprised. Cheesecake Factory, again, chicken and biscuits, 2,500 calories. And that's an entree. That's
all
just...
Right.
I'm sitting
Red Lobster, what do they got?
Red Lobster, they have their fondue, which you may be splitting, you may not. 40 grams saturated fat, 3,500 milligrams,
oh my goodness,
1,500 calories pretty much. A dessert from Uno Chicago's mega-sized deep dish sundae, which, once again, you may be sharing this, you may not be.
But it doesn't
have
to say mega-sized for it to look like this, but it does.
Yeah.
So 2,800 calories.
2,800 calories, 72 grams of saturated fat.
Which is even worse than the fried macaroni.
Yeah, so if you team that up together and, you know, start off with an appetizer at the Cheesecake Factory at, you know, 69 grams of saturated fat, hop over to Olive Garden for 33 grams saturated fat and
here's one that seems innocent before we close this segment. Applebee's quesadilla. I mean,
quesadillas
doesn't sound
healthy.
Too threatening.
It's quesadilla burger, so that adds a little bit more to
with
it.
With fries, all right.
Yeah, so 1,800 calories. That's an entree. So, I mean, it's just one meal of your day, taking up all your
all
calories,
your calories,
sucking up all your calories,
46
grams of saturated fat.
But here's the best part.
4,400 milligrams of sodium.
Which, what's adult sodium?
Well, I don't know. We covered that like two podcasts ago, though, where we had like 7,000. So this isn't a shocker anymore. It's like two times your amount of sodium. Yeah. This is kind of...
So it just goes on and on. And some of these have like threatening names, but the point of sharing this today is what?
And I think, too, we're talking about heart health here, and we're talking about some of the things that have to do with health. And so some of our customers may already, or some of our listeners may already have issues. What we're looking at is, you know, like if you have high cholesterol, they recommend the TLC diet, right? And they generally, you shouldn't have more than 16 grams of saturated fat for the day. For one day, if you already
have
high cholesterol.
So you're getting two or three or four or five times more.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, that's just something that we want to be aware of. If we already have these issues, we want to be heightened awareness.
And not just you already have them, but so if you're a man and you're going into your mid-40s, your 50s, I mean, your risk factors are changing even if you're not doing anything different. And then you add a couple of these things here and there because you're busy and it adds up. So the idea today is awareness, right?
Yeah.
Be aware of what you're eating when you're eating out.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the CDC had a recent feature that they did on sodium. And, you know, if you have a high blood pressure, you shouldn't get over 1,500. And really what they said in the report was 77% of the sodium we consume comes from processed foods or fast foods or, you know, those kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, most of it's coming from these sources. And as you can see, it's easy to add up. So, yeah, a lot of information there. You can go on the web there and
so
bring
this
up yourself.
So most of our sodium's coming, that's what the CDC said, from fast food.
And processed food.
And these are this list of extreme food. It pretty
verifies
much highlights
that.
Yeah.
So, but...
Yeah, so moving on to our research, I think this is usually a little bit of a quick segment that we do, but this is going to be a little meatier today.
Yeah, this is kind of where it's at for me because the information that was found here is really summarizing, and I didn't mean it this way. This is brand new, came out, you know, May 27th, and so this is pretty new out there, but it summarizes all that we're talking about.
And so the thing that came across the newswire, this was from PR Newswire. You know the source of this?
Yeah, well, the this is there's a few different places I got this. This popped up in news, and so the PR Newswire picked it up. Also, we have Medline later. We'll talk about. But this study was published in the American Journal of Medicine in June, and so we'll see that coming out in this month. And
they're also quoting Medical University of South Carolina.
Is that, yeah, that's who did the study.
Okay, so article is called, just so we don't forget, The Age of Good Health, Healthy Lifestyle on Decline in the U.S.
Yeah, and that's where the PR News, that's their headline, and they're talking about the Medical University of South Carolina researchers in this study, and you know, they're urging people, especially in middle age, to adopt healthy lifestyles is a subtitle. And this was a study that was looking back at some of the research that's been done or some of the data that's been collected. We have something called in America the NHANES, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. So pretty much finding out, just gathering information, and then from that, studies will come from that, and they'll say, so these conclusions, this and that.
This is something they do on a regular basis?
This is something, yeah. So this is the fourth one that was done in 2001.
It's kind of a health 06. Census? Is that?
Yeah, it's finding out what people eat and, you know, just different lifestyle patterns and those kind of things. And so this study is going to highlight the difference between the recent one that came out in 2001 to 2006, comparing it to the 1988-94. 18 years... difference there is kind of how they're highlighting this. So not, you know, we're not digging back 50 years. This is pretty recent for both of these.
So those time periods, 1988, 1994, and then 2001, 2006, is that how long they make this?
Yeah, so the actual survey goes on for that long. You know, it stretches over the 6 year, 5 year period, so that they can, you know, get more normalized information.
Sure. It takes a while to find this stuff out. So yeah. What are some of the main things that they found?
So, yeah, off the top, the main thing really they found is, you know, there's these five healthy diet or lifestyle patterns. So let's say BMI, which is how we measure obesity. That's your weight, pretty much.
What does that stand for?
Body mass index.
Okay, so BMI is one thing.
And then physical activity, eating five or more fruits and vegetables a day, moderate alcohol use, and smoking. And so those five factors they looked at. And looking at those five factors, the number percentage decrease that's happened. So 15% back then were following these five patterns.
Okay.
And we're doing them. So 15% of all Americans were actually saying, okay, I'm getting, you know, 12... I'm getting physical activity 12 times a month.
All right.
I'm eating five or more fruits and vegetables per day, using alcohol moderately or not at all, and then not smoking. My weight's in line. So only 15% of us were doing it back then. But that has since dropped to 8% in this newest study. So
it wasn't a majority to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't doing well at the get-go. And so what we're looking at is all the education we've been doing over the last, you know, 20 years, all the effort we've been putting into trying to increase diet and lifestyle choices, it's not being effective. We're really seeing drops from where we were already at, which was not good.
So in each of these five categories, there's been some increases that are, I mean, so there's a decrease of the people participate or doing the five things, right? But then there's also an increase, like, going the other way,
yes,
that they highlighted.
So both of these, you know, obviously for one, you want to go up, one you want to go down. So like a body mass index, you want it to go down. So you want us to see us at a healthier weight.
You don't want
obviously
it to increase.
Yeah, this one is actually a little more obvious to people. I think we've kind of seen this in the news. We understand this just in general that we're getting heavier as a culture.
Well, and we talk a lot about kids too. Like,
yeah, that's right.
So as a population,
is
a trend. Yeah,
right.
So that increased.
Yeah, from 28%. That was back in the, you know, the 1988-94 study, to 36%.
So this is saying, in another way, that if you have a body mass greater than 30, that's your index score.
Right.
That's increased from 28 to 36%.
Right. So more people are overweight or obese.
That's a pretty hefty increase, considering the impact of extra fat.
We know more about it. In the last 20 years, more research has come out.
I feel like I can't not hear about that.
Right.
But it's still
about
increased.
Obesity and it's tied to disease.
Okay, one thing is exercise, right? Like the Biggest Loser, that's on TV. You just cannot, you always hear about exercise. Right.
And this isn't too bad of a goal, 12 times a month. I mean, so we're not even measuring this by week.
But it's three times a week. That's what you hear.
Yeah.
Three times a week times 4 weeks. That's 12 times a month.
Yeah, so 53%. of us were doing that back then in the 80s and 90s. Now it's down to 43%.
So far we have body mass index, the sort of fat content, is increasing in a lot. But then the physical activity hasn't gone down too much. So that's interesting. That's, but these are 10%. All, we got to remember, it's everything together.
And a short period of time. So let's say it's 100 years. You know, how long we've been around? For thousands of years. And, you know, just in this very short amount of time, we're seeing significant decreases.
Yeah.
In a very short amount of time. So the same kind of thing with five fruits and vegetables. You know, without, once again, all the marketing that we're doing on five a day and, you know, the government programs are out there. We went from 42% of us were doing it, which is actually, that's kind of surprising to me. I thought that was actually kind of high for... back in the 80s and 90s, I thought we would have been lower than that.
Yeah.
But now we're down to 26%.
Joe, I mean, that's almost cut in half.
Yeah. So that one kind of is a shocker to me. And that one, as far as how much decrease that's been. And so if these trends continue, you can kind of see that's kind of what you look at, too, with surveys like this and when they do research like this. What if these trends actually continued? That's not good. So
yeah, well, the essence of trend is sort of the projection about where we're going, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's just a lot to be said about lifestyle and diet as far as the effects they have on health. You know, the study, the authors of the study start out the study talking about, in these words, lifestyle choices are associated with risk of cardiovascular disease, which we've talked about a little bit,
right,
and mortality, which is death from all causes. So that would be cancer, or, you know, pick a cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
Recent research has provided fresh evidence that a healthy lifestyle that combines a prudent diet, regular physical activity, maintaining a healthy weight, moderate alcohol consumption, and not smoking decreases the risk of cardiovascular events. And so, you know, these are not, this is not an exhaustive list. You know, it's just, it's a, I think it's a pretty small list of things that we can do to keep ourselves healthy. But there's a lot under the surface for each of these and why we do or do not do these.
And they're not, I mean, I think the wording is interesting because they're not asking you to just totally change who you are in essence, but like prudent diet, I think that's an interesting word because they're saying it's not that you have to go nuts,
right?
It's just we're not even doing the basic stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. And five to, and I think they kind of watered down the old 2 to 3 fruits, 3 to 4 vegetables.
Okay.
So now we took the lower side of that, saying 5 fruits or vegetables a day and whatever combination you can do.
Yeah, they're not splitting
the
it
minimal
out.
Size. Yeah, I mean, so we're actually in some ways saying, okay, the goal is a little, we'll set the goal a little lower, make it a little easier. But at the same time, you can kind of see where we're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's been a few studies that were done that they kind of went over and showing just really significant, you know, for men and women following a healthy lifestyle for 16 years, there was the nurse's health study showed a 62% to 80% reduction in coronary events. That's huge, you know, and similar effects when you just start introducing a healthy lifestyle. So let's say you haven't done it for forever. They still show that if you change to a healthier lifestyle, you can get about a 35% reduction. That's just one study.
So it's like there's sort of like two elements here. There's low-hanging fruit. Like if you just start changing, you're going to see benefits. And then if you continue to do that consistently over
long-term,
a period of time.
Right.
I don't know where I heard it, but there was some discussion, and I'll have to dig up the citation here, but they were saying that it does take quite a while to reverse the effects if you've been on a track for a while. In other words, if you're smoking or you're at high risk for heart disease, I mean, you're going to need that consistency to change things. So they're highlighting that here.
Right. Yeah, and it's always surprising. I think that the researchers, when you see it, they're always surprised at the end of the study to show how much benefit you actually get from very short term.
Even the researchers are surprised.
Yeah, 1 or 2 years of change can make a significant difference.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty surprised about that. Generally, when you see those studies released in the conclusions, they're usually pretty surprised by how much benefit you can get. So yeah, it's, you know, one of the studies finding was that people with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, or other risk factors were no more likely to adhere to healthy lifestyle patterns than those that didn't have risk factors like that. And so this kind of highlights a little bit what I was talking about with the news, is that, you know, when we get bad news about our health,
right,
a number comes back to us, something happens, and then we say, oh no, you know, like this is not good. What brought me to this point, or where am I at, and what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
Those indicators, those first line indicators that can give us some, you know, can kind of shout out to us and say, hey, something's wrong here.
Something's wrong, yeah.
Yeah. And it really didn't change. people's attitude towards food or lifestyle changes and those kind of things. It really, those indicators, now we have, more high tech testing and all those things. It didn't shake people up enough to say something needs to change.
This is what the research said. We're not saying this. But what's interesting, Joe, is that we have customers coming over at oathealth.com that say, I went to my doctor and I got a surprising cholesterol score and they wanted to give me medication. And sometimes I think, I understand why the doctor does that, because this research says that we go home and we don't do anything about it.
Yeah. And so, and all these things you're seeing on the rise as well, it's like the cardiovascular disease, the high blood pressure, some of these things, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, they're on the rise. Since the start of this study, those things have continued to go up and up. And some of what they're concluding here is this is a big part of it. So some of the things they're talking about: physical inactivity, inadequate intake of fruit and vegetables, smoking, obesity, they contribute to a large measure of mortality. And I think in some ways can be a little more hit home. Morbidity, and that we've talked about this word before. Morbidity means just life is not going as well.
Yeah,
you're not functioning as well.
Mm-hmm.
And morbidity is like, kind of just the word that sums up everything that can go wrong.
Right.
That's not death.
That's what scientists use to indicate that.
Right. And so, it contributes to morbidity and mortality from cardiovascular disease, and are the underlying cause of premature death in cardiovascular and other diseases.
So that's really bold to say that it's fundamental, it's underlying.
Right. So that's kind of, at the end of the day, that really, I think, covers what they're trying to get to, is that they're important, as far as not only, and I think we usually tie things to what do we die from, or how does it contribute to death from, but in this case, really, how it contributes to my life, when I'm here, and how much life I have to live,
mm-hmm.
how much does this affect my day-to-day? How much is going to affect my ability to get out of bed in the morning, all those kind of things. Morbidity really speaks to a lot of that altogether.
So you have sort of how long are you going to live, but also what quality of life will you have along the way.
Yeah, and so this study was also picked up by Medline. Once again, one of my favorite places to get some good news. This is an article that was they compiled together, and this comes from Health Day. And this one, it's kind of interesting. They did a little more interview type stuff with the author of the study and actually another doctor from Yale.
So this is kind of the behind the scenes of the research.
Yeah, a little bit behind the scenes and really candid answers to some good questions.
Interesting.
But the title itself kind of speaks to it. Americans Score Lower in Healthy Lifestyle, which is similar to the other title. But the subtitle is Too Many Rely on Drugs to Fix What Healthy Living Would Cure. Researchers say.
I'm surprised they would say that, but
in medical news, you don't usually hear it said that way. So that was kind of surprising to me as well. And you don't usually hear that from medical doctors to say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's we don't talk about it maybe as much, but I think everybody kind of understands it in a way like that. That okay, we just know that at the end of the day, if I don't have a great lifestyle and a great diet, there's something there to solve it. There's something there to make up for it later. If I'm not perfect every day, that's okay because there'll be a pill there waiting for me.
I was actually watching the Food Network and they go around and they, go to different burger joints. And I can't remember the name of the joint, but they're overt about the fact that their food is terribly unhealthy. Like that is their marketing gimmick.
Right.
And I heard a guy that they were interviewing, a customer of this fast food restaurant, say, well, it's okay because I'm on cholesterol medication. Right. That's a mentality there.
Right. Yeah, the solution is made for us, and don't worry.
So what did this...
King was one of the main authors of this study, believes that Americans rely too much on drugs, not diet and exercise, to lower their blood pressure and cholesterol and prevent diabetes and heart disease. And he states, I wonder if we become a little bit of a take-a-pill society. He said, take a pill and I can eat what I want. The fact is, no pills are as potent as a powerful as a healthy lifestyle. Let me say that again because I'm kind of fuddling over this. So this is huge. The fact is, no pills are as potent and as powerful as a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really sums up what I've been looking at, I think, my whole life in some ways, of just when I look at how do we be healthy, what's the key? And that statement says it right there. I think there's just... things in what we do in our diet and lifestyle that really tell the story mm-hmm. that really are the underlying factors, and I think a lot of what we face. And he also states we need to get back to the basics of healthy lifestyles and not taking the easy way out of pills, because they are not as effective as healthy lifestyle in preventing cardiovascular disease and maintaining vitality through the middle and later years. And so, you know, Dr. Katz also, he chimes in. He's from the center at Yale University School of Medicine. And he commented about the study and saying, in every way conceivable, from cost to convenience, the modern food supply favors the consumption of highly processed, low-nutrient foods. Every aspect of modern life, from hectic schedules to constant stress to the reliance on labor-saving technology, fosters sedentariness. And that really is what we cover in the last few podcasts. Mm-hmm. We're really talking about, you know,
it's a systemic thing. It's systematic. It's
and
designed
it's bent that way.
And let's not even, you know, we're not getting into conspiracy theory or anything like that, but we've designed ourselves to have more time and make things more convenient. And we've discussed over the last few installments of this food podcast, essentially, that there's some benefits to that.
Right.
But there's also some trade-offs. And it's kind of like finance, right? Like, if you don't actually track where your money goes, if you go back, you're surprised. Like, I spent that much on that.
Right.
And I think the same is with our health.
Right.
That if we're not really thinking about it, if we're not tracking it, we might be surprised. And the census suggests that that's true.
Yeah, and I think that really brings us to our main topic today and what we want to kind of cover today. Because we look at it, we have choices to make, right? We know that every day we're making choices. And what factors into those choices?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can't just neglect that cost and convenience don't factor in, because there's a lot of desire there. We want those kind of things to happen.
We want that, but there may be a health impact.
But there needs to be, right, there needs to be all these different things on a playing field together. And then we need to as far as like cost, convenience,
healthy lifestyle. Well, in other words, we can't compartmentalize each component and say, well, that doesn't have to do, one thing doesn't have to do with
right.
the other. That's not true.
So health needs to be a section, a portion of the pie that helps us to decide whether or not I choose choice A or choice B. So cost needs to be a part, convenience needs to be a part.
But is it
healthy?
Health
needs to be a part. Yeah, and health needs to be a part. But which part of that pie is biggest for
each
person?
And if you haven't joined us for the past podcast, you should go back and listen to some of those, because we've discussed why might certain choices have those trade-offs. What are we even talking
right.
about here? The components of food. And we talked about variety. We've talked about a lot of things. Go back and listen to those those podcasts. That's helpful. But now we're really kind of taking a step back, or more of like a bird's eye view, to say, like you said, what does that piece of the pie look like? We're making choices. You have cost and convenience and all these different things, but health is a part of it.
Yeah, and I think we're taking a very passive stance at something that has changed. And maybe it was okay to take a passive stance in it before, and diet and lifestyle, and so activity. Two
well,
things
even
that
in the
80s,
we
today.
Were still, we're kind of doing okay.
Yeah.
But now we've had more education, but yet a reverse in health, like where it's
right.
moving in different directions.
Right, and so I think that those passive decisions need to move into an active category because of the changes. And they weren't always that way. And I think there's not a straight line in between when that happened to say, okay, now, you know, all of a sudden I have to make a more active choice to be healthier.
It wasn't just one day we woke up. But what you're getting at, Joe, I guess the question is, are you getting at that at one point we were spending a lot of time trying to sustain ourselves, growing our own food on
right.
a farm and all of the physical activity that took. But now I have the luxury, like today we're sitting here doing this podcast. It's great. We're sharing knowledge and there's benefits of that. And we have more education about diet and all these things. But also, I'm not going to have to farm all day long. And
right.
and there's an element of that we're overlooking. Like you said, it wasn't, you know, year 2000, okay, now we have to become more
right.
aware. We have a knowledge society.
Right.
But it's happening.
Right. And the activity level continues to go down. And there's all kinds of factors in there, you know, whether or not it's...
And people have heard that to the nth degree.
Yeah.
But what do we have to add to
yeah.
that?
Yeah. So, you know, before the day of modern farming, before the day of food processing, you know, before all this happened... we didn't have to be as active in the decision-making. So, you know, before the last 100 years or 200 years,
mm-hmm.
we ate more processed or whole foods.
Right.
We didn't have access to processed food because it wasn't available. So we ate real food all the time. So kind of like when we challenged people before in one of the earlier podcasts is find out how much food is in your food.
Right.
They, you know, they could
That's
see
That's not
it.
A question they need to answer.
It was in there all the time. And then, you know, the issue of physical activity. It's, I mean, to most people, it would be pretty obvious that we were very active in a job comparatively to now. So right now, we're obviously sitting on our desks here, but all day I'm just sitting on my desk. And I was talking to somebody else here, and I'm like, you know what? At some point, we just need to get out and take a walk or do something, because this is horrible. I mean, you sit around all day.
But where we're located is not conducive to that. And so we have to think about that and incorporate into our day. Like you said, intentionally taking a walk. And I also want to highlight, in a past podcast, you've highlighted for us the downstream effects, whereas of food processing, you know, you're not getting all the nutrition and variety. Whereas if you were preparing your own food, all the physical activity, plus if you've been to other cultures where they still are preparing whole food, they don't waste anything.
Right.
So you're getting all the nutrient preservation. So that's another element that, if you haven't heard, go back and listen to that podcast. Right. But it's a part of the pie today, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think we're kind of coming to a place that's saying, okay, to have some of these conveniences, to have some of these, the cost benefits, to have some of these things can be okay. But at the end of the day, we need to be a little more active in saying, okay, now we need to do something about it. And now we need to take a more active stance. And so that's, I think, where this podcast is going to go. I think we're going to try to be that for people. You know, we've kind of, as a people, have been eating a lot of processed food, have been eating a lot of convenience food.
Mm-hmm.
We've been sitting around a lot. I can attest to that from my own life, you know. We're eating too much of the refined food. So at the end of the day, what can we do? And we don't want this to be a case of, okay, now run out and do these 100 things.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, let's go do it all at one time. We'd like to walk with you on the journey to recapturing your good health.
Right.
And so we want to take this step by step. It's important to remember that each day, if we're making good decisions, that will affect.
There's a compounding effect if you do it.
All the way down the line. So, you know, we're going to continue to look at some good research that will help highlight healthy lifestyle and how to do that.
Yeah.
What components of it are there, and how do I move forward with that? And then, I don't know, we were kind of talking about this, and maybe we'll highlight this in the future.
Yeah.
Kind of doing a 52-week, 1 week at a time.
Challenge.
Yeah, a little bit of a challenge. You know,
let's put ourselves in the ring.
Yeah, 1 year, what item changed? 1 week at a time, 52 changes.
What does that look like at the end?
Yeah, I mean,
compounded every day.
Yeah, and it's not, we're not even going to start off with telling people to do something.
Yeah.
I think we can start off with just say, be aware.
Yeah.
You know, first step, be aware of hydrogenated oils in your food. Don't even stop. Don't stop eating them. Just be aware.
And if you don't know, look at the past podcast. You can find out what that is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you just look and see, is that in my food? Or we were talking earlier today. If you look at all the boxes in your cart, is it mostly corn?
I mean, or wheat?
This is what we need to find out, right? But so you're not even saying go out there. Okay, now you need to do this diet regimen, and you need to go to the gym, and you need to do all these different things. You're just saying become aware.
I think by week 30, if we do this, if we both agree to do this, I think this will become challenging for us.
I think I'm going
to
regret this.
Yeah, right. I think it will be tough, but it's one of those things that why wait till you're sick? You know, I worked at a health food store before, and everybody that came in waited till they were pretty much at the last end.
Right.
And so why wait till there? And I think this can be fun. I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep kicking this idea around.
But we're already doing this, and we know that it works. I mean, I was thinking just a year ago when I made a commitment to eat more whole food, I make trade-offs and I make bad decisions all the time.
Right.
But when I'm making them, I know that there needs to be a balance on the other side. And just that component alone has changed things. Now, do I swing, you know, from healthy, unhealthy decisions? Sure.
Right.
But overall, there's a balance. And what this research that we showed today and the main topic and all those things is, it's kind of scary when you start to see, you know, chunks of time in which we've declined.
Right.
And that doesn't happen just bad or good. It doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't happen in one fell swoop. One big solution, right? It's a day-by-day thing.
Right.
365 days of good decisions or 365 days of bad decisions.
And I've really realized with my own life, and I think just in general, you don't just sit still. I generally don't see people sitting still in whatever issue we're talking about.
Right.
Bad finances or bad health.
You're moving in a direction.
You're moving in a direction. Yeah. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. I've noticed that for myself, at least. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But if you're moving in an actively a positive direction, you're doing two things in my standpoint. You're moving away from and you're moving towards. So you're not just going to continue to stay on the same train and get worse and worse.
Yeah.
But at least you can stabilize and start moving in that positive direction. So Some good stuff.
Yeah, so we've spent about 4 weeks now looking at food processing, becoming aware. I think if you want to go back and you listen to those, we provide the download links on the site now, so you can actually put them on your iPod. Yeah. We're working on getting it into iTunes so you can just subscribe to it and get it every week. You know, that's in the hopper. But, you know, the main thing to know is, to summarize, if you're not making a decision, you're still making a decision, and you need to be aware of that. And hopefully that's a starting point for you. You know, thanks for joining us today on episode number 5. Really appreciate everyone listening and all the feedback we've gotten so far. We might not have answered all your questions today, but maybe you're starting to ask for yourself the right questions. So remember too that all the resources, the links to the articles we've talked about and highlighted are available at oathealth.com/blog/podcast. And for each podcast, you'll see all of the notes and research there for you. So thanks again for joining us for our episode of Oat Health Heart Health Podcast. And join us again next time.